a real big news flash, but you know, sometimes it's just old news. What if I told you God really loves you? It's old news, but it is one of the most important news of everything. When you look yourself in the mirror, when you're trying to fall asleep at night and all these different things of the day roll through your mind, when you think about yourself, different regrets come, different sins that God's already forgiven, but they come back to haunt you. Does God really love you? Yes. If you were to sit with Him just in a room, two chairs facing each other, and He was to look at you, He would look at every one of you and me. He loves us so much that He sent His only Son, that if we would just believe in Him, we wouldn't perish, but He'd give us eternal life. And it's because of that incredible love that He desperately wants to forgive us of every sin in our life. He desperately wants to forgive. It's not, oh, God has to forgive me because I'm going to confess it. He has to forgive me. He wants to forgive us of every sin. He wants that. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. But I'm going to start at verse 8, not verse 9, that most of us have probably memorized. Verse 8, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. We're all sinners. We all sin. We all do wrong. And so John is trying to write to us and say, if we claim we have no sin, which we do, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just. Now, understand the order here. He doesn't say He's just and faithful. He's faithful. He will forgive us. That's who He is. He's a faithful God, and He will forgive us. And He's just. He can forgive us because He sent His Son to die for us. And so He can forgive us because of His Son's death for us, to pay for the sin. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Wash it off. Clean it off. Wipe it clean, not even a stain. Cleanse it from all wickedness. The wages, Romans says, the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die because of our sin. But because of Jesus Christ dying for us in our place, we'll eventually die, but that's quickly into heaven. But death came because of sin. Without the shedding of blood, the book of Hebrews says, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's why when Adam and Eve first sinned, he had to kill a couple of animals to give them a covering. And then the rest of the Old Testament talks about all the sacrifices because there had to be blood to be shed. Something had to die because of our sin. And instead of a human dying in their sin, God offered the sacrifices, and then Jesus offers himself. Here's the first question for us to seriously be thinking about. Have you and I looked at Jesus? Have we confessed our sin? Have we stated that we believe in him? We were just reading in our men's immerse group yesterday morning. We came into the book of John, and I can't remember exactly where it says, but Jesus said, the disciples asked him, what work do you want us to do? We want to work for you. What do you want us to do? And he said very clearly, he said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Church, that is really the only work that we have to do, is to believe. To believe in Jesus. And so I ask us, have we come to a point, sometime and maybe many times, which is fine, where we can look at Jesus and go, I believe in you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Because it says you're faithful and just. And I believe in you, and I accept your forgiveness and your love into my heart. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and live in my heart and life. And I then live for you. Have you done that? Have you done that? So let's pray right now. Bow your heads, and in your heart, repeat after me. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've never done it, or you're not sure. Or maybe you want to do it again. Just repeat in your heart after me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you came and you died for me on the cross. For my sin. And then you rose from the dead and you live. So Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for all my sin. And I invite you, Lord Jesus, I invite you, Holy Spirit, into my heart and life. And I live for you. I accept you as my Savior, and I accept you as my Lord. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you in your name. Amen. Maybe that brings back good memories to you, you have in the past. Maybe it's the first time for you this morning. If it's the first time for you this morning, I encourage you to talk to someone. Because in a group like this, I can't assume, because I don't know all of you yet, that every one of you has invited Jesus into your life. I hope. And that's why I do this once in a while. It's the most important thing. The most important work is to believe in Jesus. Then what happens? Is God places every one of us into the body of Christ, into the church, that helps each of us grow, all of us together, in a relationship with God our Father, Jesus our Savior and Lord, and with the Holy Spirit that lives and moves deep within us. How do we do this? How do we live as a body? How do we live as a church? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Now, I came across this verse a few weeks ago as our men's group was reading through the Immerse Bible, and it just grabbed me. And then I read it last week at the end, and all that, it's just stuck with me. It has just stuck with me. So, walk with me in this verse. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life for those who are not holy, who will not see the Lord. Now, work at living in peace with everyone. That's what the NLT says. Go to the NIV. Make every effort to live in peace. What do? We get along. We enjoy snack together. We visit. What we want to do as a church, every church should do, is we work at living. We make every effort to live together in peace, to get along, to love being together. And that when we're not here on a Sunday or any other time we get together, we miss it. Oh man, I couldn't be there, but I wish I was there. You want to be together. So you work at living that holy life. We help each other working at the holy life. He's talking about the body, not just individually. And then in verse 15, it says, look after each other. Look after each other. Care for each other. What does the NIV say? See to it. See to it. It's one of the most important things that we can do together. The church is a body, not just programs. Sometimes too many churches have gotten into all kinds of programs, good and great, but underneath all of that is to watch out, is to look for each other, to see to it. We're helping each other as a body. And then it goes on to say, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Watch out that no poisonous root. There's roots that are full of poison. Roots, not just the shrub, but there's a root that becomes deep within us that becomes very poisonous. And it grows within. And as it grows, it eventually comes out. There's that bitterness. We've been talking about the last few weeks about forgiveness. There's a bitterness that grows from unforgiveness. You and I know people that are just bitter people. Do we know people like that? None of them are here this morning right now. But we know people. You just talk to them and go, wow, that's a tough person to get along with. That person just, they've got a snarl to their voice and their scowl to their face. And it's just, they're just people of bitterness. That's sad. Because that, what happened is that root started probably many years ago with an offense, with a hurt. And then it just grew. It just grew. What the Apostle Paul is saying here to a church, to our church, is work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. It's a warning. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Look after each other. Because we want each other to receive the grace of God and the mercy of God. We want everyone to grow. We want each other to grow. Watch out for each other. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. The reason I've expanded the message series, I was going to do just one message on forgiveness. But I realize it's such a big topic, but it's such a real topic. I talked last week about, I talked in the very first one about receiving forgiveness from God. But I talked about last week about how to forgive each other. How to forgive each other. Somebody comes to you, or somebody has hurt you, and you need to forgive them. That's how we get peace. I could sit here and go, okay, so CR, you're just happening to be looking at me, but you're looking at me, so I'll use you as an illustration. Good illustration, don't worry. So I did something or said something fictionally that hurt her. So she could sit there, go, I remember what Tim said. Wasn't very nice. Now she could deal with it, or she could not. But if she doesn't deal with it, it's going to grow. You and I have come across people where something hurts us, and it could hurt us, and it could grow and grow and grow, and we become bitter. So eventually, if Sierra let that thing just grow and grow and grow, she would not be able to, I happen to be a pastor, so she would not be able to listen to me. She would not want to be in church anymore. She would eventually, that root would just grow. And what happens is we allow people to hurt us, and it grows, and we start avoiding people. We start not spending time with them. And we're not living at peace, and we're not looking out for each other, and we're not dealing with what we need to deal with in forgiveness. So every time we go to prayer, that person comes to mind, and we're bitter, and we need to forgive. That's what I talked about last week. It's so important. But what I want to talk about this morning is, what if I offended someone else and I know it? What if I offended someone else and they're hurting and I know it? What do I need to do? Why do I need to, and this is a good question, why do I actually need to ask for forgiveness? So if I know that I hurt Sierra, why do I have to go to her and ask for forgiveness? She's mature enough. She knows how to grow to God. She knows how to forgive me. She listened to my lesson last week. She's got it down pat. Why do I need to go to her and say, you know what, I said something that I know hurt you. Would you please forgive me? Why? Because it's all about this living together in peace. Of making every effort to live in peace. It's about relationship with each other. And often what we've done is we've said, my relationship with God, that's all that matters. No, it's this way and this way. We are a body together. And I challenge us, I warned us last week, that we cannot allow any root of bitterness to grow in our church, because the Word of God says it will corrupt us. And that's why we need to work at our relationship with each other. Now, take a breath, because I know forgiveness is a big deal for a lot of people. And maybe you're feeling it like inside you going, this is a hard thing, and I know there's somebody that I need to work with, and I don't know what to do with that. You may feel some anxiety. Just take a breath. Just relax. We'll walk with it. You're walking with Jesus. We're not going to rush into this. That's why I've been taking five messages. I will have taken five messages to work on this topic, because it needs time. So, we know that Jesus tells us, if you're at the altar and you know someone has bitterness towards you, has unforgiveness, you have to go make it right and then come back and finish what you're going to do in the altar. We know that that's what Jesus teaches us. We know it in our head. But how do we actually do that functionally in a relationship? How do we get along? When I know I've done something to Sierra and she is hurt by it, the first thing I do is I confess that sin to God. Now, you have pieces of paper on your tables. I encourage you to write it down, because if I did a test with you at 5 o'clock this afternoon, you won't remember a thing. That's just the way we are. But sure shooting, we're going to have to forgive somebody or ask for forgiveness. So I'm giving you a bunch of steps. I encourage you to write it down. Or you have to listen to the message all over again on our website, and then it's, you know. All right? So write it down. I have to go to God and say, God, I said something to Sierra that was very hurtful. God, would you forgive me? First, I sinned against God by hurting my sister. So God, please forgive me. Then what I do is I don't rush. See, this is what we think. We have to rush to go and make it right, because that's what we think, that's what Jesus is saying. No, there's always more of a process, and the Apostle Paul talks about, and Peter talks about, and John talks about. There's a relationship. But what I want to do is I want to pause and go to the second step, is where now I think and pray, and I say, I ask God, God, what do you want to say to me about this situation between me and Sierra? What do I need to know? What do I need to be thinking? And maybe I need to spend some time thinking about what I actually said and allow the Holy Spirit to tell me how it actually could have or maybe did hurt Sierra. Whatever I had said really hurt her. I need to understand how I hurt Sierra. Then I ask him, what's the best way for me to connect with the person that I need to ask for forgiveness? How do you want me to connect with Sierra? What do I do with that? What's the best way to do that? I'll tell you honestly, a text is not good enough. So don't even entertain a text. Maybe a text. Sierra, can we talk? I'd like to talk to you sometime. But even that is going to really want to talk to me about. A voice is always better. So I may want to phone her and say, Sierra, can we talk? I think I need to make something right with you. So you consider the relationship. And we have enough of a friendship that you would, I think, would feel comfortable that we could sit and talk somewhere. Now, what you might want to do is pray for that person for 24 hours. You might want to pray for them that they'd be ready to hear what you have to say. Maybe even up to a week, depending on what the offense is. You see, you and I have been thinking about this situation for a while. It may take some time. That's why we don't rush into things. So you may want to take some time. And then I would call Sierra and say, can we do coffee or can we meet sometime? When would it work? Now, when we sit down to apologize, so we're sitting down at the right place where we should talk, and I'm going to apologize. This is the phrase I often hear politicians say. If I have offended anyone, I am sorry. Never. The fact that a politician or a leader actually has to stand up and apologize is because the media has been all over them that they've actually said something or done something very wrong. What they have to have the courage to say is, I have offended you by what I said. Would you please forgive me? I am sorry. Not if. You have. So when I meet with Sierra, I'm going to sit down and say, Sierra, I said this about you. I am so sorry. And I'm imagining that it made you really feel bad, or whatever the description would be. Would you forgive me? When we apologize, it's not just the act, it's how we made the person feel. You see, that's really, remember I talked about this, that's really what makes us hurt. It's not what I said, it's how you made me feel by what you said. Make sense? That's why we remember it. That's why it hits us right in here. It's how I made Sierra feel. Not just what I said. What I said is hurtful. But how I made her feel. And that's why I need the time. You need the time to think through. How did I hurt this person? Now, I can't demand that Sierra forgive me. Remember, I said this a few weeks ago. I can't say to you, Sierra, Jesus said that you must forgive me, so give me the forgiveness now. Depending on how deep the hurt is, if the deep is really hurt, if the hurt is really deep, then I may need to say to her, you know what? I can imagine I really hurt you deeply. I'm not expecting you to say anything right now. I'm just apologizing and asking for your forgiveness. You take all the time you need. And whenever you're ready, you can get back to me. That seems reasonable, doesn't it? That seems very gracious. And Sierra may say to me, thank you for the apology. I need to tell you how it really hurt me. She may need to say that. And you need to give room for that person to say, this is how it hurt me. And then I can apologize and say, I am really sorry that I hurt you like that. Now, this is way more notes than, way more points than in my notes. But I've walked through lots of people through this. I may or may not agree of how it made her feel. Well, I didn't mean that. No, of course I didn't mean that. But that isn't the point. She felt it. And that is what I need to apologize for. Whether I agree with it or not, she felt it. I am sorry I made you feel that way. Please forgive me for that. Talk back to me. Like, does that make sense? Is there a question or a thought? Let's pause right here. Is there a question or a thought right now? Okay. Talk to me afterwards or another time if you have more, but I just want to pause here because this is really heavy in how we do forgiveness. Then we follow through. We act on repairing the friendship. So I'll make sure that I talk to Sierra again. How are you? How are you doing? How's your work going? Blah, blah, blah. I don't go after and go, so have you forgiven me yet? I work on the relationship. If time is needed, I connect again in a few weeks or in a month. I give her space and time. And if the relationship is deeply hurt, I give time, I don't badger, and I pray. Now, what about situations that are impossible? Say, for instance, that a person that you need to ask for forgiveness from has passed away. What do you do with that? What do you do with a person that is very extreme and they actually want nothing to do with you, and they've made that very clear? What if you actually can't have a conversation with that person? I've had to work through that regarding my mom and dad. They both passed away. And so I had to work through some issues with my mom and dad. And so what I did is I sat down and I wrote a letter. One to my dad, and a couple of weeks ago, it would have been 26, 27 years ago that he's been gone. So what I did a number of years ago is I wrote a letter, "Dear Dad." And I wrote down some of the things that he had said, some of the things he had done, and some of the things that he didn't do that I would have wanted or needed. My dad wasn't a hugger. I needed a hug from my dad. I remember times I'd go up to him and try to hug him, and he didn't know what to do. His arms are just straight down, like, what do I do? And I understand that from knowing about his family. He taught me how to use a chainsaw and cut the firewood for our wood stove in our house growing up. But I don't remember him after that coming to help me, to cut wood with me. I would have loved to do that with him. He didn't, and I had to forgive him for that. And I wrote it down. And I wrote down all those different things. And then at the bottom, I said, "Dad, I forgive you for all of this. And I let it go." Don't let the Frozen song get into your mind at this point. But I let it go. And then when I was ready, maybe it took a few days, maybe it took a week to write this letter, I don't remember, but maybe it'll take some time. And then once I could sign it, I wrote "forgiven" right over the whole page. And then I tore it up. Did the same thing with my mom. Anytime a situation can't be reconciled, at least write a letter. Because then it releases a lot of it for you. You're not having to carry it. You can get rid of it. Make sense? God loves you so much. And he wants to forgive you so much. And me. And he wants us to live then a life of forgiveness with each other, in all of our relationships, in all of our friendships. Hebrews chapter 12. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Those who do not live a life of forgiveness, God can't forgive, is what Jesus talked about earlier. Look after each other. Help each other. See to it that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble us, and corrupt, defile us. Application and reflection. What do we do with this? How do we walk it out this week? Ask yourself these questions. How is it between you and Jesus? How's your relationship with Him? Are there some things that you and I need to clean up with Him? Because He wants to forgive. It's funny how it's not funny, but there's something there and we run away from Jesus when He says, come, confess your sin. I want to forgive you. I want to help you. How's your relationship with Jesus? How is it between you and your brother and sister? How is it between people in your life, your family, your co-workers? Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to ask forgiveness of someone? And then the last one is to ask God. Listen to Him. Spend some quiet time with your journal, with a piece of paper. And say, God, is there something that you want to talk to me about in this whole area of forgiveness plus? What do I need to learn? What am I avoiding? What am I missing? Is there something you want to talk to me about in this area of forgiveness? Next week I'll conclude the series. And I look forward to that one. Ask the worship team to come up as a close in prayer. Let's stand as we sing this last song together. Father, it is incredible how much you so love us. And you really, really, really want us to live a life of forgiveness. And I pray, Jesus, that that would be our church. That we would live that life because you forgive us. Therefore, we can forgive others and be forgiven by others. So Jesus, help us. Walk with us. Have mercy on us. Give us grace to walk with you. Because we love you, God. We want to please you. We want to obey you. We want to live for you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. And together the church said,